couldn't think of anything scarier. That's what I'm. I read this a while ago. I mean, like, not scarier though. This, in my mind, is like some of the most horrific shit that is still something that is scary but still historical. I couldn't think of anything worse. You know,
it's all, you know, it's scary. It's like pretty. You know, okay. Yeah, I can't really think of anything that's kind of worse. the Holocaust.
Yeah, like, that's pretty terrifying.
Like, but like, I feel like there's a lot of true crime podcasts who do like the Holocaust. Well, it is true crime.
Yeah,
it's one of the greatest true crimes.
The greatest true crime. A lot of history is just true crime.
It is true crime.
It's true crimes that politicians did. Yeah, it's just on a much larger. You zoom out and you're like, oh, this is nationally driven true crimes. This is a wow.
It's either there's only like two good types of figures for the stuff we do, either somebody who's very bad or somebody who's very good.
Yeah, not a whole lot of middle of the road.
Yeah, I don't want somebody who like had a lot of complexities about themselves.
Yeah, a lot of intricacies. It's either like shit on them or
I don't know.
Commend them. I don't know.
I don't know. All right, so people are wondering what the fuck is going on?
What are we fucking talking about, man?
So Henry is a masochist, and decided to torture us both.
Mm-hmm.
And during our spooky month, he wanted to do. Henry, I'll let you explain it.
We're gonna look at what Hiroshima was like immediately after the atom bomb was dropped through the words of the. Victims and survivors. I've got this book here. You can see it if you're watching on YouTube. It's Richard Rhodes, Making the Atomic Bomb, and he pulled some passages, or he, you know, at the end, and I've picked some of the worst, the worst ones.
Yeah, yep. No, like, and this, I just want you to explain to the listeners and also to me how the fuck we're gonna make this funny.
Because it's the comedy history.
How the fuck?
It's going to be hard.
Yeah. No, it's a comedy history.
I don't know
podcast.
If we can do it, man.
No, I don't think we can. I don't think we can. I think we're just all going to read together.
We can try. And, okay.
Okay.
might get canceled for trying. You know?
Yeah, no, please stop. I want my career to go farther than this. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to
you. We're going to listen politely.
Again. I have an understanding of like the concept. I'm a big World War II blurred. Uh-huh. I was black nerd about World War II. And I definitely have an understanding of the context within the bomb being dropped, what happened, all that stuff, or at least a decent context. And I've read into some of the stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, it's not.
It's not pretty.
Look, man, you don't want to get a nuclear bomb dropped anywhere near you, bro.
No. Okay.
So. Henry, how should
we're gonna tap dance through this minefield, man?
Have you ever seen? the comedy podcast that took place in a minefield?
This is it, man.
We're on the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah, man, we're doing it first.
Doing a minefield,
right? Front lines, okay. Yeah. So August 6th, 1945, little boy is dropped at 8:16 in the morning by the Enola Gay. Within the city, the actual blast. Itself or the bomb being dropped, the initial phase, it's called the pika, which means the flash in Japanese. Okay. And I think that's also where they might get, that's probably where they like got Pikachu. I don't know what chew means.
Don't associate Pikachu with this type of infamy.
I mean, flash mouse
yeah,
or
please
something.
Don't
you know?
Do that. Please don't put that involved with, don't take something sweet from my childhood and make it gross and disgusting like you, okay?
Okay. So further out of the city is called Pika Dawn, which means flash boom.
Okay.
As far as, like, if you look at the hypocenter of where the bomb was dropped, the temperature...
Which is the center.
Yes.
Because some niggas might be like, yo, I don't...
Was a hypocenter. That's just what they called it in this, and I was like, I'm gonna sound fancy for a second.
But this is a podcast for real niggas, so speak to real niggas. Don't say the N-word.
The center. Okay, right on. I will not. Wasn't planning on it.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. Just reminded you, motherfucker.
Okay, cool.
Okay, all right.
Center of the blast, temperatures reached up to 5,400 degrees Fahrenheit, which is nearly 3,000 degrees Celsius for our European listeners.
Just sprinkle that
breadcrumb. You know what I mean?
Okay. They call it in Louisiana, good enough for a barbecue. Okay, that's not a bad Cajun accent. Okay. And I'm sorry to all of our Louisianians. We have like three.
just lost him.
Yeah, just lost him right there.
So we got the blast, and the tail gunner of the Enola Gay, this guy Robert Caron, as far as what does it mm-hmm. looks like as they're driving away from us, he's a tail gunner, so he's got a pretty good view of all of it. He says, yeah. The mushroom itself was a spectacular sight, a bubbling mass of purple-gray smoke, and you could see it had a red core in it, and everything was burning inside.
Hmm. Wow. That does. Because I'm only thinking about the people inside of it that are uh-huh. burning. But it, yeah, so.
So he's just driving away, and he's like, mm-hmm. everything's burning, but not really.
What do you think he does when he gets home? Does he just have a Coke? Like, he just goes, he goes to the mess hall. He probably goes to the mess hall and has a Coke.
Probably.
Like a man, sociopath. Like a fucking, like.
Drinks like an American and sociopath. Later celebrates the end of the war, but then he gets yeah. home and, like, is distant from his kids.
Uh-huh.
And then those kids grow up without a nurturing father figure in their lives, mm-hmm. But they manage to pull themselves out of yeah. some sort of economic slump because they think it has something to do with Reagan or whatever. And then they yeah. birth us and aren't uh-huh. able to give us the emotional affection that their father deprived them of because they never got it, and so they never gave it to us. And so then we start doing stupid shit like getting into comedy or trying mm-hmm. to become actors because we're looking for the love that our parents could never give us because they were raised by dudes who dropped bombs on massive numbers of people, right?
One, swing and a miss. Two.
Okay.
Two, not me, not us, because they didn't let us
mm.
do like top secret shit during yeah. the war.
Not until Vietnam. Not black people.
Yeah, Vietnam. Not until Vietnam. And then we got, yeah.
Okay, so onward. Here we okay, go.
All right, all right. The wobbles. Okay, go ahead.
So it's still only light, not yet a blast. There's this guy, this yeah. doctor, Michihiko Hachiya, who's like, he conducted a lot of interviews with like survivors, and a lot of this is pulled mm-hmm. from him. But he himself, he says, Hachiya, asked Dr. Koyama what his findings had been in patients with eye injuries. Koyama said, "Those who watched the plane had their eye grounds burned," he replied. "The flash of light apparently went through the pupils and left them with a blind area in the center portion of their visual fields. Most of the eye ground burns are third degree, so cure is impossible."
So everybody who saw this,
uh-huh.
their eyes were just
seared.
Burned, seared. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Bet. Okay, there's nothing. Yeah, continue. We've there's got no a, joke to be no made joke. About eye searing.
No joke. We have a junior college girl who describes what it was like being outside of, or like getting hit by the blast wave. She says, "Ah, that instant, I felt as though I had been struck on the back with something like a big hammer and thrown into boiling oil. I seemed to have blown a good way to the north, and I felt as though the directions were all changed around."
Do you just want me just to not have a comedy career? Like, what is this about?
Just don't.
Why are we doing this? Wait. Oh, fuck. Okay.
I couldn't yep. think of anything scarier, man. Yeah, it's some scary shit.
This is pretty fucking scary.
It's going to get worse, man. We're gonna keep going. Blast wave advances. We go to another junior college girl. "On both sides of the road, bedding and pieces of cloth had been carried out, and on these were lying people who had been burned to a reddish-black color and whose entire bodies were frightfully swollen. Making their way among them are three high school girls who looked as though they were from our school. Their faces and everything were completely burned, and they held their arms out in front of their chests like kangaroos, with only their hands pointed downward. From their whole body, something like thin paper is dangling. It is their peeled-off skin which hangs there, and trailing behind them the unburned remnants of their puttees, they stagger exactly like sleepwalkers."
I don't know why you're pausing. Like, say something about
okay, we have a now. I think like another point is just thinking. It's not only what is being said, but like who is saying it.
Yes, kids.
We have a 5-year-old girl. "People came fleeing from the nearby streets. One after another, they were almost unrecognizable. The skin was burned off of some of them and was hanging from their hands and from their chins. Their faces were red and so swollen that you could hardly tell where their eyes and mouths were. From the houses, smoke black enough to scorch the heavens was covering the sky. It was a horrible sight."
Is this like, how am I ever going to wave a flag again after that?
I don't know if you can, but it just like the force of the bomb itself, that blast wave, even if you weren't in the fires, it was like strong enough to just shred your skin from off of, like strip the bone from the skin, or strip the flesh from the bone, rather.
Okay, yeah.
It's rough.
I'm trying, yeah. Yeah, there's no, yeah, there's nothing to say. Like, now, if this bomb had been dropped on Nazi Germany, we could make these jokes.
We could make these
we
jokes.
We could make jokes because that, yep. because I don't know, we shouldn't make those jokes either. Okay.
I don't know. I feel like we could make it
you
on
feel
Nazis.
Comfortable on the Nazis?
I would feel comfortable making fun of Nazis who got blown to bits by an atomic bomb, but not innocent Japanese children.
School children. Yeah, like but like all the worst Nazis.
All the
like,
worst okay. Nazis, yeah, all worst in Nazis. One center, you know?
That'd not just be... like Nazi kids, mm-mm. German kids.
No. Not like not innocent German kid, like the bad Nazis. You know?
And this isn't like a thing that like is new. I feel like dropping it on a population center, just in the middle of a population center, is particularly vindictive. But the idea of like that like we weren't bombing the Allies weren't bombing cities. Mm-hmm. We can talk about Dresden. We can talk about Tokyo.
Yeah,
you know the 100,000 people killed in Tokyo.
Yeah,
like months before this event. So it was more par for the course, but a upping.
Pandora's box had already been. Opened to
yeah,
a large
but this
extent.
Is a this far is like, bigger
like
upping,
raising is, the stakes, just yeah, jacking up yeah, the stakes.
Yeah,
and it, you know, Hiroshima was a military target. Nagasaki wasn't as much, but Hiroshima was like a very large port, and I think there was like a one army division. It might be the 6th that was stationed in Hiroshima. So they picked Hiroshima because it was a military target, and then Nagasaki. Mm. That's where you get. That's where it becomes civilian.
Nagasaki's like full of Christians, and not
yeah, it's such a weird thing that we would bomb a Christian city.
No, I mean like not that the Christians deserve anything.
No.
Better than
but just that America would choose to bomb a historically Christian, the only historic, maybe one of the only historically Christian cities in Japan.
As Glenn Beck calls it, America, a Judeo-Christian nation.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I watched a lot of Glenn Beck when I was like in 11th grade. It's wild. I know too much about the man.
Can I wish an atomic bomb would be dropped on Glenn Beck, or is that crazy? Can I wish that? Is that is that okay?
Man, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be on the record about that.
Okay,
big dog.
Fair enough. I asked if I could. Not that I did.
That would just be Dallas.
If I could.
That would just be Dallas. They could like live in Dallas. So.
Maybe like a small.
I don't like Dallas, but I don't like. I don't like them.
You know, one designed for precision.
Enough to like drop a bomb on Dallas. Okay. No,
fair enough. Yeah.
As we hear about the skin being ripped from the flesh of children.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I don't like Dallas that much.
Okay. We got
maybe just the mother of all bombs.
Hmm.
No, I'm joking. Let's move on.
Okay. All right. Here's a 5th grade boy. The flames which blaze up here and there from collapsed houses, as though to illuminate the darkness. The child making a suffering,
also,
groaning sound.
Also, I love Dallas. I hope to come back to your city, do some comedy very soon. Boom, boom, boom.
I would love to come at any time. I'll do your garage show. Josh will do a club. I'll do an open mic.
I love
mic
Dallas. Come on.
Coffee shop.
I need bookers. You know? I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that about Dallas.
Hey,
at all.
Come on. Hey.
Hey, we're funny.
You know us. All right.
Yeah. All right. Back to the horror, death, and destruction.
Back to the death. His burned face swollen up balloon-like and jerking as he wanders among the fire. The old man, the skin of his face and body peeling off like a potato skin, mumbling prayers while he flees with faltering steps. Another man pressing with both hands the wound from which blood is steadily dripping, rushing around as though he had gone mad, and calling the names of his wife and child. Ah, my hair seems to stand on end just to remember, this is the way war really looks.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that last day. This is all very fucked up. This is,
awful.
Awful.
We've got, awful. So then, you've got both the initial flash and the blast wave, they cause fires, which caused this massive firestorm to just open up above the city, like basically not even a wildfire because it's like it's got that chemical backing. You know what I mean?
It's a storm. So it's like there's like a fire
maelstrom,
almost tornado in the sky after this bomb has been dropped, and there's fucking sharks in it. It's a shark fire tornado.
Yeah,
and the sharks are just fucking now dropping down, and eating the already burned remains of the Japanese children that we've destroyed.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. This is. Yeah, man. It's gonna make me very. They didn't teach me this at school.
Hey, man. Yeah, they never do. We're at the tip of the iceberg on this one. Here's a 5-year-old girl. The whole city was burning. Black smoke was billowing up, and we could hear the sound of big things exploding those dreadful streets. The fires were burning. There was a strange smell all over. Blue-green balls of fire were drifting around. I had a terrible, lonely feeling that everybody else in the world was dead, and only we were still alive.
Yeah, no, that's a good deal. Yeah.
So now you've got that image of blue-green fireballs just dancing around the city. Here's another girl the same age.
Okay.
We were running for our lives. On the way, we saw a...
Why would you pick this?
I couldn't think of anything scarier. Well, yeah, you know, I wanted to scare people, and I was like, you guys want to be scared?
I could have just told a story about getting pulled over or something. like...
On the way, we saw a soldier floating in the river with his stomach all swollen. In desperation, he must have jumped into the river to escape from the sea of fire. A little farther on, dead people were lined up in a long row. A little farther on, there was a woman lying with a big log falling across her leg so that she couldn't get away. When Father saw that, he shouted, "Please come and help." But not a single person came to help. They were all too intent on saving themselves.
Reasonable. Hell
has been dropped over you, and so there's like this breakdown of civility.
This
understandable
fire tornadoes.
Yeah, for real.
It's blue green fire tornadoes, which, like, yeah, no. It would actually be better if there were sharks in the fire tornadoes.
Yeah,
because then I could be like, oh, something's living in the fire tornadoes, and those sharks could come and kill you. To stop the burning pain of being burned alive.
You watch Sharknado?
I watched a lot of Sharknado before this.
Okay,
and
right
I'm
on.
Sorry,
it's coming through.
It's bleeding over. It's definitely bleeding through.
They made like 8 of those. That's crazy to me.
Look, man. Look, you just gotta get a shitty idea.
When
you
struck gold, you double down. You know,
you
keep it going.
You just gotta believe in your shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get away from this subject.
Just trying to pivot as much as possible.
As much as possible.
So we have a 35-year-old man. A woman with her jaw missing.
Jeez, okay, all right.
And her tongue.
I was like a 35-year-old man because you just paused on that.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be bad. But then I didn't do, okay.
And her tongue hanging out of her mouth was wandering around the area of Shinsho Machi in the heavy black rain. She was heading toward the north, crying for help. We've got this is a scene at Aioi Bridge. I was walking among dead people. It was like hell. The sight of a living horse was very striking. So you could almost interpret that as a horseman of the apocalypse, you know. So there's this living horse that's completely on fire and just running through the city. Just a total surrealist nightmare. It doesn't make any sense.
This is
intense.
This is all everything here is intense. Everything is intense.
30-year-old woman. The corpse lying on its back on the road had been killed immediately. Its hand was lifted to the sky and the fingers were burning with blue flames.
Why are the flames blue? Is this something? Is it the reaction from the atomic bomb? Or
I don't know.
Just like
I don't know why. It's nothing makes sense. It's that because the blue fires are hotter than red fires, aren't they?
Are they?
I think so.
I don't know. I've never been in an atomic bomb.
Because that's like the center of the flame, or like they teach you how to think that in like chemistry and
I went to a school where we didn't teach chemistry. We just taught the chemistry of love.
Okay. The chemistry of fatal attractions, right?
Yeah. Watch me as I spin out of the death and destruction
you're
trying to sell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's a third grade girl. There was also a person who had a big splinter of wood stuck in his eye. I suppose maybe he couldn't see, and he was running around blindly.
So then it's, well, yeah, because then it's also, it's a bomb, so then it's also just fucking strap mail going everywhere.
Absolute chaos. I can't see, and all I hear are fires and screaming. And
yeah, and then
the crash of buildings.
A splinter just in my...
Yeah.
Because most of Japan was made out of wood at this time.
Yeah, so it's going to go up like that.
Like that.
It's a six-year-old boy. Near the bridge, there were a whole lot of dead people. There were some who were burned black and died, and there were others with huge burns who died with their skin bursting. Some others who died all stuck full of broken glass. There were all kinds. Sometimes there were the ones who came to us asking for a drink of water. They were bleeding from their faces and from their mouths, and they had glass sticking in their bodies, and the bridge itself was burning furiously. The details and the scenes were just like hell.
Is the glass coming from just like the explosion creating some type of glass form, like just it being that hot and maybe the dirt or sand or whatever is creating glass instantly?
Maybe. Or, I'm pretty sure they had like glass windows and that are like bursting, but that's also, that's a good point. I didn't.
Cause it is that hot. It's that hot to just immediately create glass.
There's some kind of, I don't remember what it's called, but there's some type of rare mineral or rock or something that you can only find at Trinity in New Mexico because it's got like bits of uranium that helped shape it. I wish I remember what it was called, but it's on, I learned about it on Connected on Netflix if you're interested in that.
Okay.
There's a fifth grade boy. I had the feeling that all the human beings on the face of the earth had been killed off, and only the five of us, i.e. his family, were left behind in an uncanny world of the dead. I saw several people plunging their heads into a half-broken water tank and drinking the water. When I was close enough to see inside the tank, I said, "Oh!" out loud and instinctively drew back. What I had seen in the tank were the faces of monsters reflecting from the water dyed red with blood. They had clung to the side of the tank and plunged their heads into drink, and there in that position they had died. From their burned and tattered midi blouses, I could tell that they were high school girls, but there was not a hair left on their heads. The broken skin of their burned faces was stained bright red with blood. I could hardly believe that these were human faces.
So, the kids see... Okay. All right. Let me take a step back. The kids, they go and they try to dip their head into this well.
Yeah, because like he sees a whole bunch of people huddled around this water tank.
Oh, so there's people huddled around
it.
But they're trying to drink, right?
But they're dead. They were trying to drink, and then they drunk, and they died in that position. And he doesn't know that they're dead, so he runs over to get water as well. And then the water's all red.
Oh.
But he's still able to see the reflection of their faces in the water.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought their faces had just came off, which, like, could...
Yeah.
Look, it's plausible.
He's saying that he can't recognize them because they're so charred. Here's a husband...
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
A husband helping his wife escape the city. While taking my severely wounded wife out to the riverbank by the side of the hill of Nakahiro Machi, I was horrified indeed at the sight of a stark of a stark naked man standing in the rain with his eyeball in his palm. He looked to be in great pain, but there was nothing that I could do for him. And this guy, there's another victim who's talking to Dr. Hachiya about this, who says it might have been the same guy, said there were so many burned, this is at a first aid station, that the odor was like a drying squid. They looked like boiled octopuses. I saw a man whose eye had been torn out by an injury, and there he stood with his eye resting in his palm, the palm of his hand. What made my blood run cold is that it looked like the eye was staring at me. Here's another Hachiya confidant. So somebody who's talking to Hachiya.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people sought refuge at the Asano Sente Park. They had refuge from the approaching flames for a little while, but gradually the fire forced them nearer and nearer the river until at length everyone was crowded onto the steep bank overlooking the river. Even though the river is more than 100 meters wide along the border of the park, balls of fire were being carried over the air from the opposite shore, and soon the pine trees in the park were afire. The poor people faced a fiery death if they stayed in the park and a watery grave if they jumped in the river. I could hear shouting and crying, and in a few minutes they had begun to fall like toppling dominoes into the river. Hundreds upon hundreds jumped or were pushed into the river at this deep, treacherous point, and most were drowned.
So, all right, let me try to just kind of recap this. So, bomb drops, mm-hmm. Explosion, mm-hmm. balls of fire in the air. Mm-hmm. At this point, people start to like regain like what's happened, mm-hmm. and it's just mass death and destruction.
Far enough away from the blast to survive.
You're like, yeah, shit, where yeah, do we yeah, go? No. If you're not any, if you're anywhere near this blast, you're fucking done. Yeah. It's over. It's yeah. over. But in the water boiling,
I think
the water would be boiling.
So, I'm not sure because I know that they were describing like just massive piles of bodies in the water after they tried to like drink from it. I don't know because it also is still flowing, so maybe that the water boils initially and then the river continuously flows, and so newer colder water is brought in over the course of the day. I think this is at night or at least like midday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here's a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Night came, and I could hear many voices crying and groaning with pain and begging for water. Someone cried, "Damn it, war tortures so many people who are innocent." Another said, "I hurt, give me water." This person was so burned that we couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. The sky was red with flames. It was burning as if scorching heaven.
This is a question. What made you read this book? Like, I just want to know the psychology of you.
I
want to know if I'm doing a podcast with
a crazy person.
Yeah, you know, I this is weird because when you're taught about the atomic bomb, you're just taught it was fucked up.
You're not taught.
But it had to be done. It's like you kind of like it had to be done, even though it didn't. It didn't. No way.
It didn't. No.
Didn't have to be. It didn't have to be done. It was a choice.
Yeah.
It was a choice within a chaotic period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, yeah. By a new leader.
By a new leader who probably was trying to prove some shit. I don't know. The psychology of it is interesting in itself, but never talked about the peer.
I bought this at a bookstore like 5 years ago, and I read it whenever I was first getting into history. I bought it with a biography on Truman and another on FDR, and at that time, like, I didn't understand most of this book, but I was kind of in a process of just trying to acclimate myself to reading.
Yeah.
Super dense shit, like, all right, just slug your brain through it. And but I was interested in it, and then I remember I read it, this part, whenever my mom was out of town, and I had like some buddies come over afterward after I was finished reading, and I was shook, the world's fucked up. And they were all like, you know, they busted out the pipe and everything. We were drinking and everything, and they were all having a good time. And I'm over here, just like, guys, do you know what we did? Do you know what we did? That's right.
Yeah, No, it's jarring because the most extent of I've seen, definitely seen a documentary on this, and it goes further to be like just the radiation alone, the days after.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get killed by it immediately. That's almost what you would want.
Yeah.
If you're anywhere near this thing, just death. Yeah, immediately. Fuck yeah. You don't even want to be around. Because if you're farther away, if you're on the outskirts of town, you're still going to fucking die from radiation. Not from radiation, but die from sustained wounds or radiation like a weeks, months after this. So.
Yeah.
Just people. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a passage on what radiation sickness or radiation sicknesses, or they also call it atomic bomb illness.
Yeah.
This is the symptoms. It's from a guy, Lifton, who's a doctor. Survivors begin to notice in themselves and others a strange form of illness. It consists of nausea, vomiting, and loss of appetite, diarrhea with large amounts of blood in the stools, fever and weakness, purple spots on various parts of the mouth from bleeding into the skin, inflammation and ulceration of the mouth, throats and gums, bleeding from the mouth, gums, throat, rectum, urinary tract, loss of hair from the scalp and other parts of the body, extremely low white blood cell counts when those were taken, and in many cases, a progressive course until death. And that's okay. What radiation sickness is like. So you're definitely, I don't want to say that you're lucky if you die immediately, but living with that and then eventually dying would be absolutely awful.
Yeah. No, this isn't like a cool situation. Like,
there's no when you winning. Drop.
Yeah, there's no winning, and like, I don't know. You would, from my understanding, I would always compare this to the bombing of Tokyo, right? Fire bombing of Tokyo.
Yeah.
Where was like 100,000 people got killed, 125,000 wounded, some shit like that, and that burning alive. But this is like burning alive.
Yeah.
Plus a radiation sickness that you weren't even close to the bomb, but you were within the wind, the atomic wind, and it fucking, now you fucking basically almost boil alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you're in your skin.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Definitely, you know what I mean? A upping of the stakes.
Yeah.
You also see, touched on it earlier, but like a breakdown of civility and a breakdown of the social order. Here's a history professor. He's like, I think he was out of town, but his family's in Hiroshima, and he's driving back into it. And he says, I went to look for my family. Somehow I became a pitiless person, because if I had pity, I would not have been able to walk through the city, to walk over those dead bodies. The most impressive thing was the expression in people's eyes, bodies badly injured, which had turned black, their eyes looking for someone to come and help them. They looked at me and knew that I was stronger than they. I saw disappointment in their eyes. They looked at me with great expectation, staring right through me. It was very hard to be stared at by those eyes.
Yeah, that's fucking, yeah.
And here's the doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor,
yeah.
Michihiko Hachiya, who we touched on earlier, this is post-surrender, 9 days after surrender, August 24th. He hears the story about the man with his eyeball in his palm, and he has a nightmare that the night of the 24th. He says, this is a nightmare. It seems I was in Tokyo after the great earthquake, probably in in 1920, I think, in the 1920s. Yeah. Around me were decomposing bodies heaped in piles, all of whom were looking right at me. I saw an eye sitting on the palm of a girl's hand. Suddenly it turned and leaped into the sky and then came flying back towards me, so that, looking up, I could see a great bear eyeball, bigger than life, hovering over my head, staring point blank at me. I was powerless to move. The last one, a young woman who was a fourth grader when it was dropped, she's reflecting, she says, those scientists who invented the atomic bomb, what did they think would happen if they dropped it?
Because I think that was there was definitely some qualms when people were like developing the atomic bomb. They were like, "Yeah, but I don't know if we should drop this."
I mean, you have this, it, kinda, but it you shouldn't.
You shouldn't really drop, like, this is. Do I want to go more into the psychology of like what you think about dropping the atomic bomb or kind of that decision? Because that decision
is huge.
It's crazy. It's a crazy decision. It's kind of taught in like American schools. We had to do it. There was just no other option. And that's been my thought about it. Now, in like previous years, you learned, oh no, you could have just blockaded it.
Yeah.
You could blockade them, start them out.
Start them out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there any humane option?
I don't think so. No, there's no humane option.
The propaganda of like thinking if you actually invaded Japan, because they thought how bad Okinawa was. Mm-hmm.
And they were already like preparing civilians for defense and everything.
Yeah.
So they
They're saying the prisoners think about fighting Okinawa but all the way up the Japanese island.
A national scale.
And and with civilians who now are like dedicated to fighting also.
Yeah.
In their mind, which I don't know much about the actual Japanese civilian population of World War II and how they actually felt. I think there was a lot of buy-in, but that's going to be from a skewed knowledge from an American context. I don't know.
Yeah. The longer series on Hirohito.
Yeah.
If you want to go back and listen to that one where we kind of delve a little more into it. I've forgotten a lot of what we... from what I do remember is the Japanese basically knew by I think late 1943, if not at least by and throughout 1944, that they were done, that they were going to lose. And so it's like, how painstaking do we want to make this loss for them? And they were already trying to get the Soviet Union to like be an intermediary in negotiations, but they kept on being like rebuffed because the Soviet Union didn't know what the U.S. wanted it to do or what they should do, or because they had a prior agreement the Soviet Union was going to like help invade after Germany surrendered, and they weren't living up to that. So there's the counterpoint with Truman of like Truman, he was obviously trying to end the war, but also maybe trying to flex on the Soviets a little bit, like, hey, we have this. But instead that inspired this sort of like lust or this covetousness where all of a sudden the Soviets are like, we need that. Why don't you call up the Rosenbergs and get them in on this, and then they get one.
They go, hey, we need that because fucking it's once you've seen what that can do, it's a city killer.
Yeah.
Whole city. Uh-huh. Gone.
Annihilated.
It's not like a Dresden or like Tokyo. We talked about the Tokyo firebombings earlier. That's really them hitting up something, them like bombing a certain area, like near a factory, from my understanding, and I might be wrong, but they're bombing a certain area near a factory, and then Japan, Tokyo's at that time is all wood.
Yeah.
So the whole city just starts to go up because it's like a fire's been lit. And they keep, they're bombing, so fucking they don't stop. And then that's why Tokyo today is made of all concrete.
It's beautiful.
It used to be all fucking wood.
Yeah.
But it's burned down.
Yeah.
I look at that and look at like then the next step is going to the atomic bomb. There's already civilian death gone.
Yeah.
But this took it to a level that was like, this is going like beyond some shit. Like, this is just like gassing a whole entire city.
Carnage. Yeah.
It's although we're at war and war is brutal and war always has civilian casualties.
Yeah.
There's no clean war that doesn't have any fucking civilian casualties.
No.
It's bullshit. That's propaganda.
Yeah.
Like, kids will die every time. Kids, children, innocent people will die.
Well, and the people fighting in the war, aren't they civilians as well?
Yeah.
Soldiers are civilians.
Soldiers. Yeah, I mean, you can technically make that distinction between the two.
Yeah.
But this shit is holistically, there's other options. They're also thinking, I think also like this, dropping the bomb isn't, it's not necessary. It's not, didn't have to be done. But they're also thinking on the other side, the Americans also thinking of maybe part of the calculus is, how many, the American population at the time, like in 1945, was getting tired of war.
Yeah. Very
like this idea that like World War II, we marched off and we had
fought the Nazis and kept the world safe for democracy and all that stuff.
By 1945, they're like, the American public is so tired of war.
Mm-hmm.
They're so tired of it.
Mm.
And you've already had this one great celebration of winning the European theater, VE Day.
Yeah. They just want it to be over. And Truman's kind of like responding to that public pressure. Like, I'm going to.
Public pressure, but also like that could be part of it.
Because
if you
do blockade, if you go that route, which I think they could have done, I'm a proponent of that. Blockade them, starve them out, and then wait till public pressure becomes so high. Which isn't humane either. It's not humane.
Yeah, like...
But just wait till the public exert that pressure, and then Japan's eventually going to have to come to the table. But that could take months.
It could take years. And that, years. And, that's, and if you look at... If you're blockading them and bombing them, which you would have to do, now you're looking at a Yemen situation, which is like what's going on in Yemen now with Saudi Arabia blockading Yemen and bombing Yemen. And that's led to the spread of disease, cholera, 84,000 children, 84,000 kids have been killed between 2016 and 2020 in Yemen from through the blockade, through the
Saudi war. Our ally, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. So like... through cholera, bombs, all the rest of in hunger. Like, no. But that's a much. That seems like a better option than literally boiling people alive. Because you have the option to do it because some fucking smart kids started fucking telling
some little nerds.
Some fucking nerds. It's all about the nerds, dude.
Nerds got tired of getting bullied, and so they built a doomsday device that could destroy the entire planet.
If you're a scientist, isn't this like a mad scientist moment, right?
Yeah.
Where you go like, yeah, maybe the world shouldn't know about this.
Like, there was a few guys. There's this one guy, Leo Szilard. He's Hungarian, and he was, I'm not sure what his exact role was. I think he was a more theoretical guy, but he had a lot of clout, and he had a lot to do with the making of the bomb and sort of like the organizational angle of it. And after it was dropped, he was fucking furious. He was like, oh, I didn't think you guys were really going to do it. I thought you guys just wanted it as an option on the table to force Japan to come to the table. Like, and there was a couple guys who were like, Jesus Christ, they did it? That's crazy.
And here's the thing also, is you have to kind of, if people are like super weird nationalist dudes who are like, think America's never did anything wrong, we'll come back at you and be like, if we didn't do it, they get it. If we don't get it, they get it. Now, it was a lot more of a fear with Germany. Like with Germany, they were trying to get their own, like, I don't know how close they were to their bomb. But there was a project, but I don't think that they were close.
This covers a little bit of that. Who's that guy? Werner Heisenberg with the duality principle. He actually worked on Germany's bomb. And there was an issue that they had with, I'm not sure the exact specifics. It's called like heavy water. And you need like heavy water in order to have the atom go pierce the atom that unleashes that big chain reaction or whatever. Yeah. And they like either couldn't get their hands on it or weren't using that method. But there was some issue that the Germans were just like, eh, fuck it. We don't need the atomic bomb. And then,
which is crazy.
Cause they gave up, this was in the '30s, and they like gave up on their program. Before the outbreak of World War II.
I don't, because I thought that was the argument for getting the bomb, was like somebody else is gonna get it if we don't get it. I think the U.S. I think the U.S. is. I thought they were competing with Germany, in some aspect.
During
World War II, from my understanding.
From what I remember of this book, just talking about it, is there were actually some guys who worked on the American team after working on
the
German team. And like FDR heard whispers of like, oh, they're trying to build an atomic bomb. Well, we need to do that shit. And like Einstein was like in contact with FDR. And I think they talked about it briefly, but only I think this was after the Germans gave up. I think the Germans gave up. And then America was like, we need that bomb.
I think so, and this is, then now we're just like kind of doing our like speculation that we've read that we're kind of reminiscing about.
Yeah.
But like, I think the thing about the German bomb or Germany with their bomb is they were doing it in the 30s for sure. That was just part of Germany was like, they were not super interested in that. But the little thing, Kristallnacht happens.
Yeah.
Where they're out right now, like crazily persecuting Jews, and like a lot of these scientists are Jewish, and they're just like, "Let me get the fuck out of town."
So they get out
of Dodge, and they come to like the UK, to England or here. And from there, then we start to develop a bomb.
Yeah.
But the only thing, but I think also the thing that was like weird in the Americans' eye was that Germany was also had a bunch of like weird different science projects. So it was no guarantee that they weren't doing it. Because they were, I mean, or you never, you can't, I mean,
yeah,
I,
look, you
I,
never
again,
know.
I'm not, yeah, yeah, I'm not, I did not read a book on that, on this part.
Yeah.
Like you, like they were still developing the jet.
Yeah.
They developed the jet. Like that just happened. Like they were developing rockets that could launch from Germany into England, into London, V2 rockets. So like they were doing stuff, but
that's
like,
what our guy, what is it, Von Braun
was
his name?
Yeah.
That's what he was working on.
The guy, the NASA guy,
NASA,
who is a Nazi.
H-Town.
NASA Nazi.
H-Town holds it down, goddamn.
Only to change two letters.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I mean, yeah, the development of that other jet by the Nazis.
Fucking around with jets. We're over here building super bombs.
No, I just think that's more like not the funniest. I mean, there's nothing really funny about today's episode.
Yeah, no, I tried. So sorry about that. There wasn't a whole lot.
There wasn't a whole
no,
lot.
No, no room for humor on this one.
Like, yeah, wouldn't so. Yeah, yeah.
Come back next week and we'll be funnier and less sad.
Yeah.
What do we have next week?
Wait, let me get this jet story out of the way because this is like the people do like American pilots. And like they're like I think of P-51 Mustangs and like just like in like little fighter planes and like you know what I mean, it's like in the World War II, it's like 1944, they have pretty much have air superiority, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere Germans are flying back speeds you've never seen before. They got fucking jets, and for like a while it was just like everything was getting blown out the fucking sky. Because it was like, yo, they're faster than you can ever dream of being. Mm. You're still pedaling around. They're fucking...
With your Wright brothers rickety bullshit.
Yeah, you're fucking sitting there. They're just... But yeah, it's a lot. It's an interesting part of World War II also. I'm a big World War II blurred.
We gonna get into it one day?
We'll get into it one day, man.
Okay, cool.
Hours.
I'm down.
Hours.
I'm down.
Nights. Days.
Night
summers.
Cast. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Like Kanye, what did Kanye say? 3 beats a day for 5 summers. It's like three World War II docs a day for 5 summers.
Damn. Okay.
A lot. It was all a right. lot. I know
we
a lot about
we
Hitler.
We can get into it. We can
a lot about the cocktails of drugs he was taking.
I didn't know about meth this
up.
Stuff.
It was meth. It was
I've
meth
heard this.
The
yeah,
fuck
just
up.
Fucking going, man.
Methed up. All right, big dog. Well, all right. Guys, thank you for listening to that horrific depiction of what happened at Hiroshima. And I think that was just Hiroshima, or that
was
also
just
Nagasaki?
Hiroshima. He okay. didn't include just the Nagasaki stuff. More of the same, though.
More of the same. Okay, yeah. Okay, all right.
I'm a pass.
But hopefully that gives you a better understanding of like
what it looked like,
what actually happened,
yeah,
and what it means to drop a fucking atomic bomb.
Oh, as far as numbers are concerned, we're looking at 200,000 casualties, right? Roughly, that's like the modern number that's agreed upon, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. And like, so when a president or somebody talks about dropping an atomic bomb, like it's fucking nothing.
Like it's nothing.
Realize that they are psychopaths.
Yes.
They
clearly haven't heard this shit.
Fucking, no. Or they do know
it. Or they do it.
And they're
like, yeah.
Insane people.
Yeah.
But guys, well, thank you for listening. We'll be funny next time.
Next week,
we'll
what do we got?
Be funnier next time. We're gonna do Marie Laveau. So we're getting to some New Orleans.
Yep.
So a little Moulin Rouge. I'm gonna do so many offensive Cajun accents. It's gonna be. I'm never gonna be able to be a daiquiri.
It's gonna be a time.
Yeah, it's gonna be a time. It's gonna be. This gonna
can't
be
work in
time.
Dallas. Can't work in New Orleans. We're just
Dallas,
we're just scratching cities
work,
off the map.
Work
you know,
Japan.
Hey, you know,
yeah, man,
not anymore.
This podcast
nope.
is a death spiral for both of our careers. Okay, Henry, where can they find us?
They can find us at Hard Fried History on Instagram, Facebook, HFH Podcast on Twitter. It's Hard Fried History on YouTube, Hard Fried History at Gmail. If you want to say hello, I'm at Henry Price on Facebook, and just Henry E. Price on Instagram.
Okay, you can find me at Joshua B. Stokes on Instagram and Twitter, and Joshua Stokes on Facebook. Guys, thank you for listening with us.
Getting through it.
See you next time. Tell your friends.
Yes, please.
Specifically to listen to this episode, they won't understand how fucked up the time
is. If you're sicko.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if, yeah, okay. Well, all right. Don't end it that way. We'll see you. We'll see you next time, guys. All right. Peace.
Take care.
Bye. I don't think we should say bye that happy. Bye. Just bye.